big stars on The X-Files, and he's making a documentary called The Truth Is Out There.
One of the things that UFO research has done to me is instill in me a healthy disrespect for the things that government says.
They are poisoning our people. There is a population control agenda. There really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world.
If we don't allow these corrupt banks to fail, then the nation will fail, and there will be no recovery.
Don't stand on the sides of the river and comment on how corrupt and dark and evil everything is. We all know that.
I don't need to have you understand or agree with me or believe. It doesn't matter to me. I know what I know.
The name of our film is?
The truth is out there.
But it really isn't.
But isn't there a universal truth that science is going for?
Perhaps the universal truth is what makes us subject.
Okay, you just blew my mind.
See, James, that's what you should be focusing on with respect to agriculture in the world today. The truth is out there.
The truth is out.
Always. Absolutely. And what better way to actually bring the truth together than the director who always provides the best possible notes to actually say, because in the business of show, that is, because Katie and Tiffany, you might just be sort of thinking, oh, notes, directors, what are you talking about? It's a well-worn theatrical routine that you get notes for the director about how the performance has been going, what are the highlights, what you want to work on, etc. It's not for sort of just a sort of whim. We actually schedule filled in us in this particular position of the show where you can kind of take the whole ensemble, assuming his web connection is actually working, and see how things are going. Isn't that right, filled in us?
It could not be more correct, Alex Lefchuk.
Oh, there you are.
You know, I need to address the fact that you have Mr. Barkley in studio and advise you that if you can't get James in studio every week, please make sure you record a clear recording of him saying good luck so that you can play that every week to agree with you on certain things, because it is so powerful when James Barkley says good luck. You know, I would agree with anything that James Barkley assesses as a good one. Such is the timbre of his voice.
There you are. You weren't expecting that from the Los Angeles
Times, were you? I wasn't expecting that from Los Angeles. Thank you very much.
So what else has caught your ear as the show has proceeded, Phil?
I never quite heard a turn of phrase asked of a guest such as the one you asked of the lovely, the easy on the eyes, the uber-talented Lisa McAllister, when you asked her, and I quote, where do you sit on haggis?
Mm.
The image of Lisa McAllister actually sitting on haggis is a visual image, much like, by the way, the visual image of getting to the bottom of David Beckham's underpants scenario. Visual images I never wanted to have to picture.
We might actually be introducing a haggis feature in which Katie, Natalie and Tiffany will have to sit on a haggis in some way, shape or form. We haven't heard about this as yet, but we'll talk about that with our agents, I'm sure.
Well, buckle up and follow me on this one, Alex. I actually once had haggis when I was in high school. It was part of some sort of Scottish appreciation. We were reading one of the Scottish tragedies, and so we were immersing ourselves in tradition. But most of what I know about haggis, I know of Oscar-winning writer-director Paul Haggis, who, of course, wrote the Oscar-winning Million Dollar Baby, wrote and directed Crash, wrote Casino Royale, the first Daniel Craig James Bond film, and, true to his name, his namesake of haggis, certainly proves to have a great deal of what we call in this country guts, because only a filmmaker with the name of Haggis would have the guts to take on the Church of Scientology, which is what Paul Haggis has done. You like that? Is that good?
It's just so wonderful. It brings us around to the next stage, which is what will Phil Dienas suggest should be the prep work for Katie and Tiffany to actually take on board this week. Last week, of course, if you recall, we actually had the Saint episodes, etc. Just prepping for guests to actually hear. We've already mentioned that next week, as well as the return, all being well, of Phil Dienas, that we haven't asked him those last two questions. And don't worry, dear listener, time hasn't jumped to that extent. We've still got a good sort of 900 seconds before those last two questions will actually be uttered. And we find out whether Phil Dienas will indeed be returning as our regular feature. But we will be featuring Richard Harpham, a man who you actually met, isn't that right, Natalie? Because he was inspiring at the London Boat Show with inspiredlife.org.
Yes, he was very inspiring.
It was. He's going round the way. He's going to be talking to us just before he goes off to Norway. Over 17,000 miles by human power, that's kayak and cycle, he has so far covered. Travelling from Alaska to other parts of the States, right the way through to Norway and indeed beyond. So Richard Hartman, inspiredlife.org. You might think, well, OK, that's all right. What about Mike Dooley, author of The Universe Today, Totally New Thoughts, author of the New York Times bestseller Infinite Possibilities, The Art of Living Your Dreams. Also, erstwhile correspondent on this show, is back again with us. So Mike Dooley will be back with us. And Natalie, you hadn't encountered the excitement of Mike Dooley until I actually physically thrust a copy of Lost in Space.
And then you made me read it in front of you.
Yes, well, you know, I think it's a good, I mean, I was thinking of that. Jonathan Livingston Seagull is another one, not by Mike Dooley, but certainly by Richard Bach. But it gets even more exciting because as Phil Leonis's warm-up act next week, all being well, we will be having somebody who I think should be one of the target areas for Phil to effectively check out in his Chill Park Hollywood stated intention for 2012 to actually go and see at least one live performance each week. We're talking about the producer, executive director and co-creator of Native Voices at the Autry, America's leading Native American theatre company. But more than that, we are talking Gene Bruce Scott. What has Gene Bruce Scott done? Well, only this. See, much as J. Michael Straczynski liked to put together a story arc, it wasn't for nothing I threw in Airwolf, the theme of, a wee while back. You may recall, Natalie, do you remember that? Nodding. You see, Katie's remembering that sort of things, etc. While Jean Bruce Scott was one of the co-stars of Airwolf, she was Caitlin O'Shaughnessy, Magnum P.I., Days of Our Lives, Newhart, Matlock, St. Elsewhere, a committee member of the Screen Actors Guild, Local Hollywood American Indian Committee, and the Screen Actors Guild's... Are you salivating, Phil Leonis?
What an august company in which I find myself. Well, Caitlin O'Shaughnessy, next week, wow. I mean, and I didn't think it got any better than, Lisa McAllister this week.
We like to raise that bar on a regular basis. Anyway, Phil, whom do you think should be presented with the first episodes of Airwolf to actually feature Caitlin O'Shaughnessy's character in the classic Sweet Britches while trying to rescue an old Vietnam buddy from... I should have actually said that for our American listeners. Vietnam buddy. Vietnam, not Vietnam. Vietnam. Like naan bread. It's fun. From a lawless county sheriff, Hawk is taken prisoner and used as human bait in a sinister hunting game. She then actually joins the Airwolf team in The Truth About Holly. After rescuing Dominic's niece, Holly, from a mobster's Mexican compound, Hawk and Dominic are troubled by a series of sinister occurrences. That's the whole thing. We've also got another Airwolf scenario, which I haven't got. Well, I actually don't know. No, I haven't got it upon my person as yet, but I will provide it for you. Who should have the Airwolf DVD to watch? Who should have the Mike Dooley Infinite Possibilities book to read? It's up to you, Phil Leonis. I know it's an enormous task that we've actually provided. They will be using Wikipedia. They will be using, obviously, other search engine facilities once the running orders come through and they're published in full on Monday. But it's up to you. Whom should we provide these things with?
Well, Alex, James Barkley should have the Airwolf DVDs because I don't think the man has seen any television since the 1980s.
How right you are!
To rush him to to thrust him into contemporary television would be truly unfair.
Unfortunately, I have to point out that just as Jerry Keyes was out of the equation last week because he's just in for the one show, I mean, he'll be back again later, but sadly, James will not be in next week. He won't be in the house next week. But he'll be around. You know, I have Joy Knight back. You know, who knows? So, you know, it's nothing personal, James. You appreciate that.
No, you're going to a more deserving cause.
It's not being given. It's you've got Natalie, you've got Tiffany, you've got, you know, Katie. Where are you going to go?
And I have two gifts. So one of
Well, three, technically. We've got two Airwolf DVDs. It's just the third one. I'll probably have to sort of hold fire should you decide that one of them gets. Anyway, it's up to you. You know, time is a ticking, as Dominic Santini might have said.
This is a thankless task. Mm. I mean, I plan to be in studio to meet all these lovely young women in the near future,
yep.
And now all you're trying to do is poison them again.
It's all right. By the time May the 2nd comes round, it will be okay. And remember, you know, if you want to remember that, it's 2 days before Star Wars Day. Okay. May the 4th be with you. No, it's 2 days before we actually joined by in the studio in this place in Lincoln. He's going to Birmingham first, though, of course, Katie.
I know.
We haven't said hello to your mother as yet, have we?
No.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
Go on, then.
What, me say it?
I think so, yes.
Hello, Mum. I hope you're listening. Enjoying it, I mean.
We like to think that
Katie gets infinite possibility.
She gets infinite possibility. Yeah, that's a good choice. Yeah. There we are. The infinite possibility. The art of living your dreams.
More reading.
Well, I already got that wrong.
Keep going.
All right, I'll make a movie out of the book.
Okay,
and then
okay.
Katie can just watch that.
Yeah, you can go to TET.com, exactly. It's sort of through. I'll tell you what, who else did you actually have in mind for the videos then?
Who else did I have in mind? You know, I'll be honest with you, I really...
It's caught you on the hop, hasn't it?
I wasn't going to give it much thought at all.
No. Right.
I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. So it's okay. Right. We'll have to sort this thing through. Are you around tomorrow, Tiffany? Can you drop into the studio for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Yes, I can, yeah.
Right. I can give you a video then tomorrow. I will also give Natalie a video as well.
A video?
Do you have access to watching videos, Natalie?
No.
A DVD, I should say. You know, I'm referring to it in the old classic 1980s sense. Because it's a 1980s television series. I'm not giving you a tape. I'm giving you a disc. By the way, Natalie, have you listened to chillpackhollywood.com?
No. Maybe half an hour of it.
Half an hour of it. Yeah, they're still on the road this week. You know, they're on Monday, still on the road. I was a bit worried, actually. Yeah, Chillpack Hollywood this week. For a moment, I thought they were stopping. In fact, who was the person who was noises off in the back of the car, effectively saying, you know, what was happening, giving you sort of notes, Phil, in this particular show? Would you like to give a name check to the voice that we actually heard just as you said, shall we draw in there? It looks as a good place to eat.
That was the lovely actress Lily Holloman. We were on our way to a shoot in Malibu, and of course it was on a Monday, and Dean Haglund and I do our podcast every Monday. So we piled her into the back, handed her the equipment, put on headphones, and said, "Guess what? You get to be the audio engineer."
Nice. Yeah, see, that's taking very much very similar to our very own Midweek Drive on the show location reports. I'll give Katie a DVD as well, okay? So Tiffany's going to pick up hers, and I'm going to give a DVD. So you see, that way I've bailed you out there, Phil, because I will give a DVD to each of them. They'll all have a different angle. Katie has got a season one DVD, and Tiffany and Natalie will have a season three DVD. I would have dug out Magnum PI as well, but I thought too much goodness in one time, too much to take, really. And besides, she was kind of more of a guest star role than that. So anyway, Jean Bruce Scott on the show, all being well, next week. Let's move on. Because we've talked about farming, we've talked about your passion, James, in terms of spreading the word for farming and various other factors. Phil is well aware of our commitment to rural activities. The first time we met at London Sci-Fi Film Festival, you know, it was one of my opening gambits, basically. Said, so, you know, what do you think about farming in the future? Only kidding, we were talking about Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea at the time. But would you like to just sort of say, where do you see the project that you're involved with in, let's say, a year's time, not 5 years' time?
A year's time, I would hope that we have taken the farming plan and idea into Nottingham, and that the young people of Nottingham will have really taken it into their their everyday life, and that it would then start to spread. And we're certainly looking at moving this whole project into London, Bristol, and elsewhere. And
could it go global? Do you think there's a place for a proper farm in the centre of Los Angeles, not a petting
zoo?
Yes,
I do. Funny enough, but, I think that farming, as we know, in America is, you know, well, it, throughout the world, it feeds us all. And I think for our rural and urban relations to get together and work together over our food and looking after our environment, I think he's a vital.
There are actually in Los Angeles programs for different schools where they do try to teach agriculture and farming and tending to livestock. Again, especially to inner city kids, especially to kids who unfortunately have had violence be a part of their lives.
Well, that's very interesting, Phil, because I think you're further ahead than we are in this particular side.
That's what the Americans always say, James. I mean, you know, for goodness sakes, you know.
But I find this to be really, truly a potentially transformative thing, not only for young people, but for our world, because even here in the U.S. where, you know, we have such corporatization of our farming, which of course brings up a whole range of issues in terms of the quality of the food we're eating.
Yes.
But it also takes it away from most of our lives and what farming can and tending to the earth can teach all of us, which is mainly for me the main challenge of living life in this technological age that always seems to be so speeding up, which is specifically teaching us to be conscientious gardeners of our lives.
That's why
of our families.
Yeah, back to our roots, I felt, was the right word for it, because we do have to go back to our own roots and actually look at the root of the soil, in the soil, and where everything comes from.
Yeah, and that's true. And that's true. You know, being conscientious gardeners, both in the literal sense and also obviously emotionally, and in terms of how we tend to our relationships and our responsibilities and all of this. I think it's beautiful, and I certainly can't wait to see where what you're doing evolves to in even a year's time.
Well, thank you, and if you're over, you know, do come and join in the project.
I would love to. I will be there. I will be there in May, and that would be fantastic if I could come.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
See, it's the magic that comes through. There are stations that try to actually deliver this routine. Only Siren 107.3 FM and Southside Broadcasting deliver. We're going to come back to you in a few seconds, Phil, but I feel it's time now to go to another piece of legendary Americana. That actually sums up what really the American presidential candidates should use as their theme in many ways. Or as James Barclay said, it's a long time ago since you heard the banana splits, isn't it?
It certainly is. Certainly is.
I felt it was appropriate because Sarah Chase, who couldn't join us today because she's in Miami, From Frankfurt to Miami via Connecticut. What I actually sent around, because I just thought I'd got this from Sheila Jones, you know, we'd spoken, etc. Sheila sent me this particular thing to our friends in the United States, tongue firmly in cheek about Her Majesty the Queen taking over the Americanas, etc. So I thought, well, I'll send that to some of our kind of regular correspondents, you know, the Kelly Duncan Joiners, the Phil Leonises, the Fiona Hardinghams, etc., Sarah Chasers. Sarah was the only person who replied, and her reply was funny, but also incredibly offensive on any number of levels. I don't like to offend people. I thought, you know, was it something I sort of, I didn't even write it, for goodness sakes. You know, just not to mention the fact that given the level of national debt in the United States, Her Majesty would never take on such an immense credit risk. After all, she wants to maintain her good credit so she can buy another yacht. I'm thinking, are we starting off another war of independence here? You know, Phil, you received it. Did you just think, oh, it's just that Lincoln bloke again sending strange stuff through? What was your views on this one?
I apologize for not responding. I was too busy sending it out and reading it aloud to everyone I could think of in order to actually respond to you. You know, look, nothing good in this life can fail to, I don't know, it just seems to offend anyone. Anything that's good is going to offend someone. And so I don't tend to worry about that too much. But what is interesting is how many people, certainly, that I met during the process of making The Truth Is Out There, my documentary about conspiracy theories, how many people would not find it funny because they believe the takeover of America by the UK and the Queen, in particular, has already happened.
This is true.
And I am not joking about that. Mm. There is very much a fear among certain people that we have given up our rights to a global cabal that is backed by the royal family.
Earlier, prior to the show, whilst I was doing some stuff on BBC Humberside as well, talking about the BBC, which is quite nice, I said, I love it. I love the BBC. I love it to bits. I like to just give a big, big hug and say how wonderful the BBC actually is. They still didn't actually refund my licence fee. But anyway, that went out at 5:30. You can use Listen Again if you want to listen to that. You see, Natalie, I was doing two shows today, so simultaneously on BBC Humberside and Siren 107.3 FM. If I'd had the third hand, I could have tweeted about that as well. However, Megan, who was doing a work placement with us from the wonderful world of Horncastle Grammar School, was most amused by option 5. You will no longer in America be allowed to own or carry anything more dangerous than a vegetable peeler, although a permit will be required if you wish to carry a vegetable peeler in public. Oh, that was good. Mind you, I can't see how Charlton Heston, the late great, would have responded to that. Would they have taken the
vegetable? No red-blooded American eats vegetables in the first place.
Well, so,
that's about right.
There you go. Sorted through. Dear. Yeah.
Alex, I woke up this morning, and prior to tuning in to the Midweek Drive, and of course I love listening to the Midweek Drive. I love it for a variety of reasons. I love it because Cameron Tilbury can turn me on to such a great new band, like the Broad River Band. Loved them. But before listening to your program, I was watching the movie The Trip, directed by Michael Winterbottom, starring Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen this, but if you haven't, make sure you check it out, because I think that the road trip that Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon take to go to all the wonderful restaurants in the north of England, doing dueling impersonations of British movie stars all the way through, I feel that that's tantamount to what a road trip with Alex Luchuk and Phil Lernis would be like.
I think you're not too way off beam there, but I see it's time for our inspirational quote, which isn't Mike Dooley today, it'd be Winston Churchill. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Natalie, last two questions for Phil Lernis.
Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us this evening?
It has been so much beyond reasonably interesting. It's been almost too much fun.
And can we look forward to connecting with you next week?
You will connect with me next week. As to whether or not you can look forward to it, that is a matter for you and your clergyman to discuss.
Oh, it's always fun. James, have you enjoyed your return back? I mean, you managed to sort of creak the microphone, make lots of The hose is off, which is always good. I saw it always drop up through. It sounded as though we had a wildebeest in for a moment there.
You
but
did,
it's okay.
Didn't you? Yeah. Wild beast is that.
It's I mean, just because you're the cousin of Marty McFly, I don't know. Or Harry, I don't know. All these potential pop bands. Have you enjoyed your return to the Siren FM Midweek Drive package?
I've thoroughly enjoyed my return back.
And is that a good one, James?
Really good evening and surrounded by pretty girls. And talking to some great people over the air. Great.
Just to actually point out with respect to that, when he refers to pretty girls, I'm not having gender realignment surgery. I have to make that quite clear. It's not going to happen.
I can't see you. I'm just looking down here.
Or in the words of our main sponsor.
Zebedee arrived. Time for bed, I think, he said. Already, said Florence.
Yes, well, the official line from that. I'm not sure whether they're used to that in Los Angeles, but, you know, I just felt it was very important. Phil Leonis will return. Tiffany, enjoy the show.
Yes, I did, yeah.
You might indeed sort of peek in tomorrow morning's Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Yay,
excellent.
8 o'clock in the morning.
8 o'clock in the morning, or no, Los Angeles time, midnight, OK? Midnight in LA, 8 o'clock British time. OK, it's quite simple. Katie, enjoy the whole thing.
Yes, it's been fun.
Well, that's what we do it for, Katie. Yourself and the rest of the Birmingham population. It's like Ian and all the rest of the bits and pieces. All cracking stuff there. News coming up very, very shortly. Thanks to the team. We'll just briefly sort of mention the fans. We already mentioned them via Phil Leonis. Oh, Cameron Tilbury, Annette Andre, thank you, dear listener, for simply being there. Fiona Hardingham, Lisa McAllister, Michelle Monroe, all great stuff from that point of view. And in the studio, of course, to Natalie, to Tiffany, to James, to Katie, and to you, Phil. Say happy trails. After three. Three.
Happy trails. Let's begin at the beginning. We're lovers and we're losers. We're heroes and we're pioneers. We're beggars and we're choosers. Skirting round the edges of the ideal demographic. We're almost on the guest list, but we're always stuck in traffic. We've watched